Well, good morning, 12th Street. Let's stand together. We're going to open up with Oh Happy Day.
Morning. We have a lot going on today, and so want to get through the announcements as quickly as possible. Today we will be honoring our high school graduates, and I'm looking forward to that. So first of all, this week is Rachel and I's anniversary. She's put up with me for 22 years, so she deserves a big hand for that. Also, I want to say a big thank you to everybody who went to serve at the Rickman House. I heard really glowing reports that the food was fantastic, and of course, the service was unparalleled. So if you helped at the Rickman House, if you could just stand up so we could say thank you to you for helping serve this week. Now, following the morning service today, we have a potluck. And we will eat in the gym back there. There's hamburgers, hot dogs, and brats. And then it's the only time Scott ever gets excited in church is start talking about food. Even if you didn't bring anything to pass, we want to invite you to stay. We have plenty of food. And then, depending on the weather, we might go out and play a little bit of softball and have some fun with that. Now, before we have our potluck, Just a quick financial report business meeting. It'll take 3 minutes, depending on how long Ray talks. So if it's up to me, it'd be two, but I know Ray, so probably 3 minutes. So plan on staying and having a good time of fellowship. This coming Saturday, June 9th, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., we are doing our $1 car wash. And especially for those that are young and able-bodied, we could really use your help. So what we do, we have a $1 car wash. People come through, they expect to pay a dollar at the end, and instead of them paying a dollar, we give them a dollar. And then they're always just, why are you doing this? Because we want them to understand, Jesus Christ washes us clean from our sin. He paid the penalty for it. When it came time for someone to pay the price for sin, Jesus paid it with his own body on the cross. And so we give them a dollar to let them know that they're not paying for the car that we just washed, and it lets them know how Jesus takes care of our sin. He does it for us, and then he pays the price himself. And last time we did it, we had some great response. And so if you want to come out and just be blessed for 2 hours, come out and wash some cars. Souls for Souls, we're collecting shoes, tennis shoes, and they need to be either new or lightly used. And the kids are taking them to Detroit when they go to Life Changers in mid-July. So if you'd like to donate some shoes, we'd love to have to take an extra trailer full of shoes. All right, that'd be a wonderful thing to have to do. So if you'd like to donate those at the Welcome Center, you can do that. VBS is coming up very soon, and I got a quick video here. This is for VBS, but also we have a lot of children's ministries that we could use some help with, children's church, Sunday school, and so watch this quick video here.
How important is children's ministry? Well, more than half of people who will ever believe in Christ will do so by the age of 12. And by the time a child is 9, their basic moral foundation has already been formed. By age 13, a person has formed their first basic beliefs about the nature of God, the reliability of the Bible, the existence of an afterlife, and the everlasting love of Jesus Christ. Through children's ministry, we have a chance to engage the hearts of these children when they are most open to the gospel. We are able to step into their lives through all the gifts like teaching, serving, administration, and evangelism. You could get a chance to share the gospel with a child for the first time in his or her life, or help them form their first thoughts of who God is. Please know we don't want this to be an obligation. We want this to be a pleasure. We want you to volunteer because you want to help your church raise its children as you raise your own. By helping us in children's ministry in any capacity, you help them see that Jesus is real.
And so if you'd like to help with children's ministry, you can see Brooke for VBS, and Michelle Roberts is always looking for more help with Junior Church. And there'll be more announcements about how you can specifically be involved. But start, if you haven't prayed about it or you haven't thought about it, think about what you can do to help with children's ministry. Our youth group is switching their meeting night. Tonight will be the last night that they meet on Sunday nights. And starting June 13th, they will start meeting on Wednesday nights. And they'll do that through the summer, and then they'll have a meeting and see what happens from there. And then also the youth group is headed to Cedar Point on June 20th. The bus will leave at 5 a.m. and return at 1 a.m. And I'm glad I don't have to wake up for that. But there's a baby shower for the Powells, Kevin and Nikki, on July 22nd, immediately following the morning service. And so there's information in your bulletin about that. There's a really good little story in here, a little food for thought, and it goes right along with our message this morning, and so take time to read that as well. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this morning. I thank you for an opportunity to just be with your people. Lord, we spend a whole week where things are busy. There's a lot of pressure, some stress, some difficult things that we go through. And Lord, I thank you that when we get together, that we can set all those things aside and say, we're going to focus on the Lord together. And as we do this together, Lord, I just pray that we would be encouraged, that our faith would be built. And Lord, if there's anyone here that's never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they haven't entered into that relationship with you, I pray this morning that they would hear what they need to hear And this morning, they would put their faith and trust in you. And Lord, I do thank you for our graduates. Help us to do a good job of honoring them. And thank you for their parents. It's a long journey to get to that graduation of high school. And we just thank you, Lord, that it's not the end. It's the beginning of, it's a launch into a wonderful life. And so we just pray for them as well. Bless the service. I pray that your spirit would meet with us in a very special way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take a moment and greet those around us. If everybody could find their seats, please. I know I'd love for the greeting time to last like 20 minutes, right? All right, if everybody could find their seats, and I'm going to turn it over to Nate to begin this part of our service here.
No, I am not going to lead the music this morning. But no, we're going to take some time right now, just for a few minutes, and recognize our seniors that we have in our youth department. And so if Austin and, who is that? Topher, if they can come up here and stand real quick. This is Austin. He's been coming to our youth group for the past few months, and it's been an encouragement for me as well as I know the rest of our students. When he first came to the youth group, I knew why he was there. It wasn't for me. It wasn't for the other students. There was one student in particular that he came for. But, you know, I seen something in his eyes, not just for that person, but for God's word. And the second week that he came, we sat in small groups, and he's like, I want more. And what that meant was he wanted salvation. And he was able to, I was able to just talk with him a little bit, and I explained to him it was his decision, not nothing I'm going to say or anybody else is going to say, but his decision only. And we've had a few talks since then, but that night we went in, and we prayed, and we talked, and we prayed. And I think that from that night on, his life has changed to serve the Lord. So I really appreciate that. And he comes with me each week. He comes each week, and it's not only for that special someone, but it's to grow in Christ. It's an encouragement. So what we're going to do, what Pastor and I got for him, because we did get him a Bible when he started. We got him this book, Act Like Men. It's just something that he's going to be able to take with him and grow in his spiritual walk as a man. So, thanks, Austin. Topher. Yeah. Christopher. Pastor asked me to say something about these guys, and I was going to write it down, but I didn't have enough ink pens or pencils in the house to write anything. So I thought maybe I could wing this, but I'm going to try to do it without, this is going to be tough, because I got to know Topher for the last few years as his youth director, and I've watched this guy not only grow to be just about as tall as me, but he might even be taller than me now, but grow as a man, and grow as a man spiritually. He came to youth group already knowing a lot about God's word. Tom, his dad, and Ange, they did a fantastic job raising this man to know God's word. There's things where I say something and he's raising his hand. I'm going to correct you. Right in the middle. He doesn't wait till the end. He does it right then. And he pays attention a little bit, as long as there's no squirrels that run by. But flying squirrels. Flying squirrels. He'll tell you about that after church, but I got about 30 seconds. So, but this guy, I've enjoyed watching him grow. His attention span is short, so there's things that I have to do to try to keep him focused. But I've watched him grow, and I didn't expect to see Topher where he is today when I first met him a few years ago. He's a guy that would not get up here on stage for any reason, but we took him to Life Changers, and not only did he get on stage, he poured his heart out in front of everybody. That's not Topher. And I've just watched him continue to do that. He pours his heart out to not only anybody and everybody, but even the younger kids. I watched him come along and put his arm around them and guide them through youth group. So he is going to be very much missed in our youth program. And he's my technology guy right now, so he's going to be leaving. So now I got to figure it out. But I'm thankful for Topher. And what we got for him is this Bible. This is a very nice Bible. Something that he's gonna leave with today, and he's gonna use this week and the next week as he goes on his road trip. But here's a Bible for you, Topher, on behalf of Pastor and myself and the church. So thank you. And they're always more than welcome to stop by any time during the summer for youth groups. So.
All right. We ask their parents to write a little bit and to them. So if we could put the first slide up here. For Austin Prowitz, 2018 is the year that you began the next chapter of your life. When you arrived on August 20th, 1999, you were destined to do great things. You were born to charm, learning to speak at an early age and never slowing down. You are one of the most loving, considerate, talented, and positive human beings anyone will have the honor to know. Austin's band director and mentor for the last 7 years wrote, "In the face of nearly every storm that came his way, he would navigate with conversation and understanding. He proactively redirected and guided others, stuck up for the other guy, and built honestly from within a section from which he led the entire band as a whole. It is because of his credibility and genuineness that many different kinds of kids felt included and took pride in staying in our program. Austin has a calm presence and willingness to go above and beyond as a leader and a doer. He checked in daily to see what the goals were so that he could smooth the process for his peers. Austin, I am celebrating your awesome accomplishments and want you to know that our program and my life have been blessed to have you in it, Mrs. Jonker." As a parent, that description of Austin's character brought tears to my eyes and is spot on. Austin earned Student of the Year and aspires to go into the engineering field. His engineering and instructor came to the grad party and complimented him just as his band instructor had. It is truly an honor to be his parent, sibling, grandparent, family, and friend. In life, one never knows when a defining moment will happen. Austin's defining moment was when Kayla and the Stout family came into his life and embraced him. This church family has also embraced Austin, and we are excited to know that he has a personal relationship with Jesus and is growing in his faith. Austin, we have never been more proud of you than we are at this moment, and declare we will support you and help you achieve your dreams. We love you, Mom, Dad, Nathan, Alyssa, Grandma, and Grandpa. Christopher. Driving fast and fixing up your ride have always been your passions. From bikes to boats to cars, your mind is focused on things that go, and your hands have been skilled in fixing what's broken. At 4, you learned to ride your bike, minus training wheels, and rode all the tread off your wheels as you spun around and around in our garage for hours. When we walked through parking lots, you surprised all the adults by naming each car based on the vehicle's emblem. And much to the delight of Pappy Fleming, you would proudly proclaim, "Fords are junk, Chevys are the best." Yeah. Then came Old Blue and Bumblebee, your beloved quads. As you raced through the yard over and around and sometimes into an obstacle, it became clear that going fast, being outdoors, and spending time on your own would play a large role in who you would become. Moments turned to seasons, turned to years, and now your mind still lingers on things that go, the engines of cars and trucks. And your hands continue to work on repairing or improving things. That ability to fix things coupled with your work ethic has served you well at the Career Center and is propelling you toward a 4-year apprenticeship to become a master welder. As you head out west on your epic road trip celebration as well as onto the highway of adulthood, we thought we would remind you of a couple things built in language you would appreciate. Remember to read the Head Mechanic's Manual for Life and follow the operating instructions. Daily come to a complete stop and allow the head mechanic to give your heart a tune-up as you consult with him in prayer. And remember, no matter how long the trip has been or where your turns have taken you, you can always come home. Twice chosen, the Lord loves you, and so do we. All right, so Austin, you'll go first. Just share with us what you're doing in the upcoming year, and then give us one thing that we can pray for you about, okay?
For the next year, I'm heading off to KVCC to get most of my undergrads done. And for prayer, mostly the strength to keep going with school, because I've never been in a college setting, so it's a complete and different environment for me.
Okay, and what are you going to study?
I'm studying mechanical engineering.
Okay.
And for me, it would be my road trip coming up, but also as a welder starting out here, that I'd be able to continue with my apprenticeship and find strength in doing it, and God's strength that I'll need, because it's not going to be an easy thing to wake up early.
Oh, yeah.
So just prayer and getting through and getting used to the working schedule and my road trip here.
All right. Let's pray for these guys here together. Lord God, I pray for Austin, Lord, as he begins college, and it's a whole new phase, a lot of new experiences and decisions to make and a whole new atmosphere. I pray, Lord, that you would give him the wisdom to follow your word. Let it guide him to navigate all of those new things that are in his life. And I pray, Lord, that as he does, that you would strengthen him, that he would grow every day in grace and knowledge of you. I pray for Topher, Lord, as he heads out on this journey out west, that it would be a really great trip. It'd be safe. And Lord, he'd learn a lot about you through viewing your creation and seeing all the beautiful things that he does as he travels out there. But also, Lord, as he goes next year to begin working on welding and the apprenticeship, I just pray, Lord, that he would find ways to serve you as he already does here at the church, but also, Lord, continuing to do so as he works with others, and that he would find ways to be an evangelist and share your truth. And so, Lord, I just pray for both of these young men that as they embark upon the next chapter of life, that your grace would ever be present with them, that your strength would always support them, and that your wisdom would guide them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, guys.
I believe. I'll raise.
conquered the grave. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. I know he's rescued my soul. His blood has covered my sin. I believe. I believe. My shame he's taken away. My pain is healed in his name. I believe. I believe. I'll raise a banner. My Lord has conquered the grave. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. You lift my burdens. I'll rise with you. I'm dancing on this mountaintop. See your kingdom come. My Redeemer lives. 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 My Redeemer righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Darkness veils his lovely face. I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Sound. Oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand.
Aren't you glad to know that Christ is a solid rock this morning? All that other sinking sand out there that tries to bring us down, but Christ we can count on. Thank you.
Let no one caught in sin remain inside the lie of inward shame. We fix our eyes upon the cross and run to Him who showed great love and bled for us. Freely You've bled for us. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling over death by death. Come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Christ is risen from the dead, we are one with Him again. Come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Bow to none but heaven's will. No scheme of hell, no scoffer's crown, no burden great can hold you down. In strength You reign. Forever let Your church proclaim. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling over death by death. Come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Christ is risen from the dead, we are one with Him again. Come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, hell, where is your victory? Oh, church, come stand in the light. Our God is not dead, He's alive, He's alive. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, hell, where is your victory? Oh, church, come stand in the light. Our God is not dead, He's alive, He's alive. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling over death by death. Come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Christ is risen from the dead, we are one with Him again. Come awake. Come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling over death by death. Come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Christ is risen from the dead, we are one with Him again. Come awake, come and rise up from the grave.
You may be seated. Can we have the ushers come forward, please?
Today. Thank you for the choir. We pray that You lift their voices up, Lord, to bring honor and glory to You. Lord, just be with all the ones here. If there's no one here that doesn't know You personally, Lord, that maybe today they would confess their sins and come to You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Take all I have in these hands and multiply. Guide all that I am and find my heart on the altar again. Set me on fire, set me on fire. Oh, take all I have in these hands and multiply. Guide all that I am and find my heart at the altar again. Set me on fire, set me on fire. Here I am, God, arms wide open, pouring out my life, gracefully broken. My heart stands in awe of your name, your mighty love stands strong to the end. You will fulfill your purpose in me. You won't forsake me, you won't forsake me. Here I am, God, arms wide open, pouring out my life, gracefully broken. Here I am, God, arms wide open, pouring out my life, gracefully broken. All to Jesus now, all to Jesus now. Gracefully, I'm strong when I am weak. I will be free. Your power at work in me. I'm broken gracefully. I'm strong when I am weak. I will be free. Your power at work in me. I'm broken gracefully. I'm strong when I am weak. I will be free. Power at work in me. I'm broken gracefully.
Thank you, Jenna. Thank you, choir. What a great song. Well, at this time, we'll dismiss the children to Children's Church. And as the children head out to Children's Church, let's take our Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 9. And it's really good to see Chad Van Sparentech in church today. After the fall that he took, praise God that you're feeling better. So, I was going to tell the graduates that, you know, after 12 years of lugging around backpacks, they are now fully qualified for a career in backpacking. It was graduation day, and the mom was trying to take a picture of their son in a cap and gown, posed with his father. "Let's try to make this look natural," she said. "Junior, put your arm around your dad's shoulder." The father answered, "If you want it to look natural, why don't you have him put his hand in my wallet?" Well, this morning, as we look at Luke chapter 9, we finished our series on the disciples, and I thought it'd be really good for us to look at and say, all right, we studied all 12 of the disciples. Let's look at what does it mean today for us to be disciples. Shortly after Jesus lived, there was a senator in Rome. His name was Tacitus, and he wrote a book, and his book has actually been preserved. And the book is, they've titled it Annals, and in the 15th chapter, basically, and in the 44th section, Tacitus talks about a man named Jesus Christ who lived and had the greatest impact than any other person who had lived. Another man named Suetonius, he wrote a book called Claudius, and in the 25th portion of the book, he talked about a man named Christus, and he was referencing Jesus. And as he talked about Jesus, he said that this man created the most devout followers that have ever been on the planet. And then a man named Pliny the Younger, he wrote a letter to Trajan, and in his letter to Trajan, he pointed out that there is a man who lived on the earth who had such a great impact that he was legitimately called the Anointed One. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 20, Jesus looked at his 12 disciples and he said, "Who do you say that I am?" Because you know, when you have a guy walking around the planet who heals the sick, raises the dead, does all these miracles, feeds 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish, and you have this man, and no one disputes the fact that they were miracles. The only dispute was, where did the power for those miracles come from? And so Jesus looks at his disciples, because a lot of different people had ideas about who he was, and he said, "Who do you say that I am?" There's a man named Josephus. He was born 4 years after Jesus died. And he wrote, he was commissioned by Rome, the Roman Empire, to write about the Jewish history because he was a religious Jew. And Josephus wrote this about Jesus. He said this, "About this time lived Jesus, a wise man, if indeed one ought to call him a man, for he was the achiever of extraordinary deeds, and was a teacher of those who accepted his truth gladly. He won over many Jews and many of the Greeks. He was the Messiah. When he was indicted by the principal men among us, and Pilate condemned him to be crucified, those who had come to love him originally did not cease to do so, for he appeared to them on the third day, restored to life. As the prophets of the deity had foretold, these and countless other marvelous things about him, and the tribe of Christians, so named after him, has not disappeared until this day." You see, even people who weren't followers of Christ, because none of those 4 people I've referenced were followers of Jesus, they all lived their own kind of life, but they all recognized who he was. To live during that time, if if they had the news outlets that we have today, there would have been countless reports that the one who was crucified the day of Passover, that he came back to life. And it wasn't even disputed among the secular writers that he came back to life. So why is this so important? Because it goes to the nature of who is Jesus. And so in Luke chapter 9 and verse 20, Jesus said to them, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter answering, remember he's the impetuous one, he'll just blurt something out right away. He said, "The Christ of God," which means the chosen of God, the anointed of God, the one who had been promised way back to Adam and Eve after they sinned. He is the promised one. Verse 21, and Jesus charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day." So before Jesus died, this is actually probably about a year before he dies, he tells them, "Don't tell anybody that I'm the Christ. I don't want people to follow me because they went in on my power. But I'll tell you this, I will die and I will rise again from the grave." Verse 23, and he said to them all, so now he's done speaking to his 12, now he says to this huge crowd that's around, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever will lose his life, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come into his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels." So here's what Jesus did. He put out there for his disciples first and then for everybody the truth of himself. The truth is that in order for us to have eternal life, to see God in heaven, to live beyond in glory with God, we have to believe in what Jesus did in dying on the cross and being raised from the dead. Jesus makes that clear. He is the Christ. He's the anointed one, the chosen one. Now, if anyone wants to be his disciple, a disciple is different than a believer. A believer says, "Yeah, I think that I agree with that. I think I can go along that. Yeah, you are of God, sure." Jesus makes a difference between a disciple and a believer. He says, "If anyone will come after me and take up his cross daily." Now that's rough. To every day look beyond myself, live beyond what I want to do, and to live for and obey the higher calling of Jesus Christ. That's hard every single day. So here's what Jesus laid out. First of all, follow Christ. Well, how do I follow Christ? You have to deny yourself. You have to set yourself aside. It's hard to put ourselves aside. We live in a society, you know, you go to Burger King and it says, "Have it your way," right? You go to any of the stores, the customer is always right. Even when they're not, because they're wrong so many times. But see, we live in this world where we're told this over and over again, and we get this false validation. We get this message that's burnt into us that, well, Stuart Smalley from Saturday Night Live many years ago, You're good enough. You're smart enough. And doggone it, people like you. And see, the truth is that we all go through struggles, but even when we're at our very best, we do not measure up to the best of God. Here's the nature of God. He's perfect. Here's the nature of Jesus. He lived 33 years on this earth, substantiated by tens of thousands of independent authors. And he never once did wrong. He never once violated the holy standard of God, which means he never lied to anybody, he never stole from anybody, he never defrauded anybody, he never thought an evil thought. I mean, I can't drive down the road without, you know, but Jesus was perfect. And now here's what he says to us. Not only believe, and if we don't believe, then we cannot be saved. And you say, well, belief is hard. To not believe is hard. I was talking to a guy that I used to work with, and he said, I cannot believe in God. And I said, you have your belief system, I have mine. Your belief system, you choose not to believe. My belief system, I'm believing something that's bigger and better than me. And he goes, well, what difference does it make? And I said, well, here's the difference. Someday when I die, I will go to heaven and be with the Lord. Not because of me. I am not a good person. But because of Christ in me, he's good. He saved me. And I said, and if you continue to believe what you believe, if I'm right, you will spend eternity in separation from God. Your choice. I said, now if you're right and I'm wrong, I've still lived a really good life. And when I die, I cease to exist. And when you die, you cease to exist. I said, but here's the thing. Because I have the Bible, because there is certainty that what's written in there, they've never disproved anything in there. It's always been proven by history. If I'm right and you're wrong, then it's the end for you. You don't just cease to exist. You're separated from God. He looked at me. This guy, his name is Ron Burleson. And Ron said, wow, you've almost convinced me. Almost convinced me. 4 years after that, Ron called me up on the phone. I had moved to Michigan. That was in Wisconsin. He called me up. I'm like, why are you calling, Ron? He goes, I just want to thank you for living what you preached. I'm like, well, do you believe yet? I'm almost there. But here's what we need to do. Once we believe, there's a lot of us in here, you say, I believe. Okay, are you following Christ? What does it mean to follow? Deny yourself. Put yourself aside. Take up your cross. Take on the life that Christ wants. Luke 14:27, Jesus said this, and whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So likewise, in verse 33, whosoever he be of you that forsakes not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. So here's the difference between being a believer in the Lord and being a disciple, is but when you're a disciple, you give up everything to follow him. See, here's the sad part of Christianity. There are a lot of believers in the Christian faith and very few disciples. So, number two, be a disciple. Leave the past. Learn from Christ. When we come to Christ, we have this huge, huge learning curve. It's not like when you come to Christ and you believe in him that all of a sudden it's like, woo, roses, sunshine, rainbows. No, it's not like that. There's this huge learning curve that takes place in our life. In Titus 2, In verse 11, it says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." Here's what it's saying. We have to learn. The grace of God teaches us. Some of us are good students. Some of us are bad students. But the grace of God is teaching all of us. So here's the next point. The grace that brings salvation has to teach us. You need to learn the ABCs before you learn how to read. And you need to learn to read before you learn to write. I'll never forget when Kayla and Jenna and Leo, when they were little, they would try to write before they could read. Because Dad does a lot of writing, so, you know. And they would write these, and there'd be letters all across the page. Can you read that to me? Because I don't understand it. And the reason for that was they didn't understand. They knew letters. And see, this is how the Christian faith is. You get saved, you believe, and you become a disciple, and you try to learn. It takes time. Learn the ABCs. Learn to read. And then what God will do is he'll advance you where you learn to write, where you're writing your faith into other people's lives. We're told to die daily. 1 Corinthians 15:31, the Apostle Paul, he said, "I don't think it's good that you rejoice on my behalf. Here's why. I die daily." Paul, he was trying to communicate to the people as he was one who founded many churches into the Gentile world outside of the land of Israel. And as he went out into the Gentile world and started these churches, he says, "It's not easy every day. I have to work at this thing. Every day I have to lose my life, take up my cross, and follow Christ. I die to myself every single day." That's what it takes to be a disciple. Before we come to Christ, we have learned certain dependencies. We become accustomed to certain behaviors, habits, ways of living, types of speech. We have learned how to handle pressure. We've discovered a way to live. And in Proverbs 16:25, it says, "There's a way that seems right to men, but the end of those ways is death." So when we come to Christ, he transforms our ways. And we have the Holy Spirit and God's grace that's teaching us. And he begins, as he shows us his ways, it takes time. It's a process. It doesn't take place immediately. And so I've got an illustration to help you understand how to become a disciple of the Lord. Okay? First of all, I've got a $100 bill here that I will give Topher and Austin, our graduates. Do you both know how to ride a bike? You guys know how to ride a bike? Oh, good. I know your whole graduation thing is about riding a bike. Come on up here, you guys. If you can ride this bike up here across the stage without putting your feet down, I will give you $100. Okay? It is your chance today. You both can ride a bike, right? Okay, now here's the thing. They grew up riding a regular bike. I'm going to call it a worldly bike. I'm going to move it to the center a little bit so you don't kill yourselves. We're paid up on our insurance, so okay. So you're going to go first, Topher? All right, now, let me just explain, okay, just so you know. Just like when you come to faith in Christ, first of all, if you haven't come to faith in Christ, there's no bike to get on, okay? When you trust Christ as your Savior, now you get on the bike, okay? But when you've lived in the world a certain way, you learn the patterns of that world, just like you've learned to ride a bike. This is a different bike. Everything on this bike is backwards. So when you try to turn left, it will go right. When you try to turn right, it will go left. And you need to learn to lean the opposite way as well. Because when you ride a bike, you lean. I don't know if you remember that or not. but you have to lean. And so if you lean the regular way and turn the regular way, you will not survive. All right? So if you, I'm going to go across the stage. If you can, without putting your feet down, either if you put a foot down, the $100 is off the table. If you can make it to me, I'll give you the $100. But I'm confident you won't be able to. You know why? Because this is just like discipleship. It takes a while to learn how to follow God's ways. All right? All right, Topher, let's see you do it. I'm only going to make you go. Go ahead, back up. Try it again. All right? You only have to go this far. It's not that far, okay? One more try. Come on, you can do it, Topher. $100. Come on, man. Oh, so close. All right, let's give him a big hand. It was a good try. All right, Austin, let's see you do it. All right. Good try. All right. Kenny Youngs believes he can do it. I saw it. I saw him look over at his dad and say, I can do that. Come on up here. All right. $100. All right. Come on, Kenny. Let's see you try it. Come on. You think you can do it? All right. I saw you lean over to your dad, so. All right, there you go. All right, you just got to make it just right here. If you can make it right here, we'll give it to you. Yeah, you thought you were at it, didn't you? All right, try it again. All right, good try. Does anybody else want to try it? Nobody wants to. Wait a minute. Don't we have a Carter? You're like a professional rider, right? I mean, like, you're like a motorbike rider. Come on, Carter. Come on, Carter. Let's see it. Come on, you can do it. I mean, Carter races motorcycle, or did for a while. All right. Good try. Okay, here's the thing. There's a family that bike actually belongs to my dad, all right? I tried riding it. I can't do it either. All right. And there's a family that took it. The kids, who had already learned how to ride bikes, but they'd only been riding their bikes for a couple years, they learned to drive that, and they could ride it all over the yard in 2 months. It took them 2 months. The dad, it took him 4 months to learn it, okay? And he's a really athletic guy. Here's the point. When we come to Christ, here's what happens. There's a whole new mindset that he gives to us. And it's not like immediately we jump on the bike of Christianity and woohoo! Now, the younger you are when you get saved, you pick up on things a little bit easier. You don't have all the bad habits. Like, you guys all had the bad habits from riding a regular bike. You need to have totally different habits on the backward bike. Well, you know what? The Christian life sometimes, it's backward than from the world. You see, here's what Jesus said. He said, when you are faced with hardship from your enemy, love your enemy. Because you know what we're taught all our life? We hate our enemy. We want to kill them. You know what we're taught by Jesus Christ? He says that when you go through hardship, that we should be patient and endure, and in the end, we'll find hope. You know what usually we have? When we go through hardship, we want out of it right now. And it's a whole new way that he has for us to handle life. But I'll tell you what, it's better. It's so much better. And especially for our graduates, but this works for all of us here, be a disciple. If you're here this morning and you're hearing this and you're going, man, I'm just a believer. I'm not really a disciple. Have you been putting the effort into learning how to be a Christian? Have you been trying more than just, I show up Sundays? Yeah, but do you live the life? The grace of God, the Holy Spirit, is trying to teach us. So this morning, I want to challenge you. First of all, if you've never come to Jesus Christ, he wants to put you on the bike. Start learning now. It gets easier. He wants to give you eternal life. He didn't die so that you would be separated from him. He died so you could live with him. But he leaves that choice entirely up to you. And if you are saved, but you're not a disciple, this morning, the invitation for you, I'm going to invite you just to come and kneel and say, God, I have been putting my best effort in. I want to be a disciple. It starts with picking up your cross. And today can be day one, and the next day, day two, and many thereafter, of following after Christ. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you so much for your word, for your love for us, that you desire to have a relationship with each and every one of us. And so, Lord, as we close out this service, I thank you that in your word, you've told us that it's a hard process. It's like picking up a cross. It's like hauling along a hardship. But, Lord, if we do so, the joy far outweighs the hardship. And so I pray for everyone here that we would be willing to be more than just believers, but we would be willing to be disciples. Daily, take up our cross, deny ourselves, and follow you. And Lord, I pray for anyone who's not saved, that they would have the courage this morning, that while we sing this last song, as I stand at the front, that they would just have the courage to come up and tell me, you know, I've never trusted Jesus, but I want to. And Lord, if they would do that, then today you could save them, and today you could give to them eternal life so that they will never perish. They will never be separated from you. So God, do your work as we close out this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. If you need to do business with God, I encourage you to do it. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I'll be standing here at the front. I'd love to talk to you about it. But as we close out this service, let's all be obedient to our Lord.
We bow our hearts, we bend our knees. O Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. O Lord, we cast out our idols. So give us clean hands and give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands and give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Oh God, let this be a generation that seeks, who seeks your face. Oh God of let us be a generation that seeks, who seeks your face, O God of Jacob. bow our hearts, we bend our knees. O Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. O Lord, we cast down our idols. So give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Oh, give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Oh, God, let this be a generation that seeks, who seeks your face, oh God of Jacob. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks, who seeks your face, oh God of Jacob. We bow our hearts, we bend our knees. Oh Spirit, come make us humble.
I'm going to close the service in a word of prayer. We're going to invite all of our visitors to go get in line first for the food. And if you're a member, I'm going to ask you to stay for 3 minutes so we can get through our budget report very quickly and then all head back to eat. And search committee, sorry, you're going to have to wait to eat because we do have a meeting that we need to have after the three-minute business meeting. So let's pray together. Lord God, thank you for who you are. I thank you that you are the God who from Adam, to Abraham, to Jacob, to the 12 disciples, to today. You're the same yesterday, today, forever. That it's always been your design for us to put our faith in you, to trust in you. And Lord, when we do, you are so great. You teach us how to live the life. Be with those who are discouraged right now, because they just keep falling and bruising their knees. They keep scraping their arms in their walk with you. I pray, Lord, that they would stick to it, that they would let you teach them. And Lord, the process may be long and hard and difficult. I pray, Lord, that they would not give up. Lord, as we go from here to eat, I pray that you would bless the food, bless our time of fellowship, and we just thank you for all you do. Thank you for being the one and only God, the only one who gave his life for us. That you don't tell us to die for you, you died for us so that we could have eternity with you. So to you who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb, be glory and honor and power and dominion, both now and forever, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you. You are dismissed, and members, stick around for 3 minutes.